Wisconsin's Democratic candidates for governor have been crisscrossing the state as the campaign comes to a close. Tomorrow is Election Day in Wisconsin. We asked voters who they're supporting and why. It's Monday, August 10th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, the builders of a proposed transmission line to serve Port Washington data centers is dealt a major setback. And doctors say a new Medicaid work requirement requires them to make determinations they can't fairly make.
I think represents a really deep conflict for the patient-doctor relationship.
Stay with us.
It's easy to connect with WPR through our website, WPR.org. Click on About WPR to give us your feedback, send in news tips, or contact our staff. Join one of our online communities through Facebook or subscribe to a program podcast. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
Ahead of tomorrow's primary election, voters around the state are weighing in on their support for Democratic candidates for governor Francesca Hong, David Crowley, Kel DeRoyce, or Joel Brennan, or expressing support for Republican Tom Tiffany. WPR talked to voters in Milwaukee and Wausau. Corrine Hess has more.
Some are enthusiastic, others are conflicted. Here's some of what they had to say.
I'm concerned that the Democratic Party just hasn't held together as strongly as it should have, and I'm worried about Tom Tiffany getting in.
I voted yesterday, actually, so I did early voting. I was looking to vote for Francesca Hong. I wanted to get in and do that as soon as possible.
I'm voting for Hong because I want Tom Tiffany to be governor.
I guess I don't pay as attention this time of the year as I usually do, like during a presidential election or something, so I'm undecided, yes.
That was Becky Felascio of Marathon County, Mia Cotton from Milwaukee, Andy Nunemaker from Milwaukee, and Tom Atchison from Eagle River. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Brown County District Attorney is handing complaints from state elections officials against billionaire Elon Musk over to the La Crosse County District Attorney. Brown County DA David Lassay made the announcement Friday, citing a conflict of interest in his office. Lassay received a pair of complaints against Musk from the Elections Commission last month. That's after the commission voted 5-1 that there was probable cause that Musk violated state law in the run-up to the 2025 Supreme Court election. The commission cited a social media post by Musk offering $1 million to people who voted in the election. Lassay, a Republican, says La Crosse County District Attorney Tim Grenke, a Democrat, will serve as a special prosecutor to review the commission's referral. La Crosse County District Attorney's Office did not immediately respond to a request for comment. State utility regulators dealt a major setback last week to a more than $1 billion transmission project. As Joe Schultz reports, it would have served the data center campus being built in Port Washington.
The Public Service Commission voted to revoke a completeness determination for American Transmission Company's application. The project called for building new substations and high-voltage power lines and upgrading existing infrastructure. The company will have to submit a new application for the $1.3 to $1.7 billion project. Commission Chair Summer Strand says the utility submitted more than 500 application documents after receiving a completeness determination late last year.
The magnitude and volume of changes have created a barrier to parties and the public's participation in this proceeding.
The decision effectively closes the current case. American Transmission Company can start a new proceeding for the project. The utility says it's still looking at options. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee Water Works is adding half as much fluoride to its drinking water due to domestic supply chain constraints. Milwaukee Water Works adds the mineral to drinking water in line with federal health recommendations that are aimed at preventing tooth decay. But the utility says its previous fluoride supplier, Penco, was unable to renew a one-year contract. PENCO spokesperson Emily Horn says the company does not want to overcommit to water utilities since there is less fluoride to go around.
We're seeing no one else is necessarily able to fill in the gap whenever cities just, you know, need more supply than we can necessarily guarantee.
Milwaukee Water Works says its drinking water remains safe and will last around 3 to 4 months. This spring, utilities on the East Coast said they were cutting back on fluoride levels due to a shortage linked to the Iran war. Health officials say people with serious medical conditions will be exempt from new work requirements for Medicaid recipients. But as Hope Kerwin reports, some Wisconsin doctors are worried about how that process will affect their relationship with their patients.
Federal guidance says the exemption for people considered medically frail has to be based not only on their medical condition, but also whether it truly affects their ability to work or volunteer. Dr. Ken Shellhase is a family physician and member of the Wisconsin Medical Society. He says primary care doctors aren't qualified to make that determination, and they're meant to be their patient's advocate, not judge.
Asking me to judge objectively their level of, you know, disability or incapacity or functional limitations as part of a determination of whether they even get to have health insurance, I think represents a really deep conflict for the patient-doctor relationship.
Shellhase worries that people considered healthy enough to work will see their medical conditions worsen if they lose coverage. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A new lawsuit is challenging a Wisconsin law that limits when a transgender person can change the sex on their birth certificate. The law requires the person to undergo a, quote, surgical sex change procedure before their certificate's sex designation can be changed. Not all transgender people undergo those procedures, and ACLU attorney Jade Hall says those decisions are deeply personal.
They may not be able to afford those surgeries, but the larger issue really is people should just be believed when they say who they are.
The ACLU brought the lawsuit on behalf of a transgender Coast Guard veteran who was born in Oshkosh. According to the lawsuit, she was pursuing gender-affirming surgeries, but it says she could no longer afford them after the Trump administration ended coverage of those procedures for military members. The Green Bay City Clerk is stepping down amid an investigation into how her office mailed out duplicate absentee ballots in back-to-back elections this year. The city made the announcement on Friday. Celestine Jeffries has served as Green Bay City Clerk since 2021 and previously served as the mayor's chief of staff. Jeffries was placed on leave last month on the same day the Wisconsin Elections Commission voted to investigate how Green Bay issued duplicate ballots in both the April election and the August primary. In April, the state Republican Party filed a complaint against Jeffries with the Elections Commission after the city issued two absentee ballots to more than 150 voters. Coming up after the break, family farms across Wisconsin are handed down from parents and grandparents to the next generation. But as farmers face tough times, is that still possible? Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
In the U.S., farming is often a legacy business. One generation passes the farm to the next. But a difficult agricultural economy is making that transition harder. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports how steep costs and economic uncertainty are impacting farm succession plans.
See that? I'll put my shoes off here.
Mike Langseth, a North Dakota farmer, is showing me around his home, which has stood for more than 100 years. His great-great-grandfather built the home, and his family has cared for it ever since.
Every generation has had to do some sort of a fairly serious remodel and, you know, make it theirs.
His farming journey mirrors his family home, with each generation adding their touch. Langseth became the farm's owner 3 years ago after a long period of taking on more responsibility for its expenses.
Every time it stepped up to a bigger percentage of the farm, it was always a little bit of a financial stretch to have that money to operate on a bigger scale. Same thing when it came time to start buying the machinery. All of a sudden, that felt like a stretch. It was like, whoa, okay, now I got to do that.
And Langseth took over his farm at a tough moment for the ag economy. Shifting trade policies and supply chain disruptions have raised the price of gas, machinery, fertilizer, and other operating expenses. Wesley Tucker, a farm and ranch transition specialist at the University of Missouri, says that's partly motivating more farmers to hand off ownership to the next generation. Still, it can be a hard industry to break into.
In general, the amount of capital it takes to farm today, land is a big part of that. But just look at the price of machinery, you know, and the economies of scale it takes to be successful.
John Shoup is an attorney and director of the Indiana Agricultural Law Foundation. He says the challenging economic situation means younger farmers have to be increasingly nimble.
The volatility has created more of a business-like approach to the farm.
And Shoup says because these transitions are happening between family members, it's typically a very involved process, emotionally and financially. In West Minnesota, Andy Meyer is a few years away from taking over the family farm, which grows sugar beets, corn, soybeans, and more. To do so, he has to buy out his dad and uncle. And for that to happen, the farm has to do well.
I don't have like a big savings account somewhere. It's all pretty much tied up in the business. So like the extra money that we make, if we have a good year, it just stays here and gets reinvested.
And lately, good years have been hard to come by. For example, Meyer remembers when crop prices fell in 2018. A lot of people, even in his neighborhood, quit farming altogether.
People my age, they had a college degree. Why am I out here working real hard and not gaining anything when I could just go to town and get a decent job at a bank or at a wherever, doing something much easier, much less stressful, and make a decent living for my family?
For Meyer, it's rewarding to keep the farm going, taking crops from planting to harvest each year. But it's more than that.
It isn't like the work of a day. It's the work of several years, decades, generations.
It's a bittersweet time for his father, Rick Meyer, as he prepares to pass on the family farm. Even though he won't own it soon, he says he'll always worry about the farm's future.
And the heritage, or whatever you want to call it, of 100 years, I don't want that to go away. You know, hopefully it makes 200 or whatever.
And Rick Meyer says he'll be there to help his son Andy as he makes the farm his own. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
This story is part of Tough Times, a Harvest Public Media series looking at the economic stress that many American farmers are facing. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR. And now for a check of the forecast. Areas of fog today and then partly sunny, warm and muggy. A slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm late this afternoon in the extreme south. And highs will reach the low to mid 80s statewide. Tonight, partly cloudy with fog patches and a slight chance of a shower. Lows will reach the upper 50s to mid 60s. And tomorrow for the primary election, expect partly cloudy skies and still warm with spotty showers possible. Highs will reach in the upper 70s to mid 80s. And tomorrow night, just patches of light rain and fog with lows in the upper 50s to mid 60s. And that's all for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, Wisconsin's primary race is tomorrow, so be sure to check out our voter guide on WPR.org/elections. You'll find the candidates running for Wisconsin governor and what they stand for. WPR will have you covered this week on the primary election results.